Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word.
Tried to fight this battle by myself, but it's a war that I can't win without your help. Tonight I'm as low as any man can go. I'm down and I can't fall much farther. Once upon a time, you turned the water into wine. And on my knees, I'm turning to you, Father. Would you help me turn the wine back into water? So many times I've hurt the ones I love. I push them to the edge of giving up. They stood by me, but how much can they stand if I don't put this bottle in your hand? Tonight I'm as low as any man can go. I'm down and I can't fall much farther. But once upon a time, you turned the water into wine. And on my knees, I'm turning to you, Father. Would you help me turn the wine back into water? I shook my fist at heaven for all the hell that I've been through. Now I'm asking for forgiveness and a miracle from you. Tonight I'm as low as any man can go. I'm down and I can't fall much farther. Once upon a time, you turned the water into wine. On my knees, I'm turning to you, Father. Would you help me turn the wine back into water? Help me turn the wine back into water.
Here's another song. Were you amazed when you found out that Jesus loved you? I mean, not just loved like your grandma or something, but loved you. I grew up in the 60s and 70s. Well, graduated in 1971, you know, just after the Great Flood. But been a long time. I was amazed when I read that simple verse in John chapter 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. That word whoever rocked my world, because it meant that he loved me. I don't know how I survived in this cold and empty world for all this time. I only know that I'm alive because you love me. When I look back on what I've been through, there are things that I wish I didn't do. But now I do the things I do because you love me. And now that you're in my life, well, I'm so glad I'm alive. 'Cause you showed me the way, and I know now how good it can. You loved me. I believe in things unseen. I believe in the message of a dream. I believe who you are because you love me. With all my heart and all my soul, I'm loving you and I never will let go.
from now on, I'll let it show, because you love me, because you love me.
Life-changing, I'll tell you.
All right, I want to read to us, if I could, the 32nd Psalm, Psalm 32.
I listened to Pastor DeGaulle's message from last week. Man, he kicked it out. It was good stuff. And appreciate your work, Myron. Let's pray together before I read the Bible, okay? Let's do that. So, Lord, here we all are. You haven't left us alone. You promised to be here with us. And you have also promised to speak to us through your word. We believe, Lord, that you have given this book to us. It's amazing to me, Lord, the attacks on the Bible throughout our culture. But I thank you for the ancient book and for the truth that we have found here. For its uncompromising view of who you are and who we are and what you've done. We're so grateful. We ask for you to bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so this is the statement that David wrote, the song that David wrote, after King David wrote Psalm 51. Now, I know the numbers don't go. They don't have them in chronological order as written. This is the Hebrew songbook, and so... But this song was written just after David experienced and wrote Psalm 52. Now, if you remember Psalm 52, David had done terrible things. It was the darkest time in his life. He committed adultery with a woman named Bathsheba. That was the one whom they wrote the song Hallelujah about. It's one of the most depressing songs in the world, and everybody loves it. But it's if you listen to the words of it, it's about David being devastated by the adultery. They also try to make Bathsheba the aggressor. That's not the way it was. He had all the power. Saul, that wrote it, a great songwriter, and depicts it all terrible. Not only did he commit adultery with Bathsheba, then to try to cover up her pregnancy, since the husband was off to war, David made sure he died in battle, murdered him. He had all the armies move forward, and everybody withdrew but her husband. Everybody else had gotten the memo but him, and he died. David set it up. And then David went on for about a year and acted like it was no big deal. And then Nathan came after him, the prophet. And, you know, David, his conscience had been suppressed, and so he was just going on. But I'll tell you, Nathan came and told him a story about a family that had a little lamb, and it was the only little lamb. It was a pet to their children. And it ate with them at their table, it said, and slept with his children at night. And there was a rich man on the hill that had thousands of lambs in his herds. And when a friend came to visit, he decided to go take the lamb from that poor family and kill it and serve it to his friends. And David jumped off the throne and said, "That man is going to die." And Nathan, what a man, pointed into the king's face and said, "You're that man." And then David collapses. And his conscience is revived, and he repents before God in Psalm 51. And then after he did business with God and came clean, he then writes Psalm 32. Get this. "Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit there is no deceit." I'm not hiding anything, in other words. "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, 'I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.' And you forgave the guilt of my sin." Incredible, beautiful song. I love David. Are you having trouble getting over your past? Are you having trouble with stuff that keeps coming up about what you've done 20 years ago or last week that just keeps beating on you and beating on you? That happens. And David is referring to what his conscience was doing to him at that time. So I want to say just a couple things to you in closing today. The first is this.
We have this gift of a conscience. It's a voice within your soul that says to you, that's wrong. That's wrong. And you also, that conscience, when you do the right thing, says, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay? Interesting. It's a gift that God has given us. We're hardwired in this. It keeps us on the straight and narrow. It tells us when we've done right or wrong. Well, David had done wrong, and check it out. Look what his conscience was doing to him in verse 3. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. You know, when you try to cover up your junk, when you try to cover up your stuff, what happens is it just drains you, you guys, doesn't it? It just wears you out. It's like having a hole in your bucket. You just can't keep it filled. I don't know why I don't replace it. I have a Home Depot bucket, and I was cold, and I was trying to take some ice out of it last year, and I cracked it. So it's seeping all the time. So when you wash the car, you got to go really fast, okay? And you think I would just, you know, get another bucket. That's what happens to us emotionally when we're trying to cover stuff up. When you try to cover it up, it just leaks away. It'll just sap you. It's kind of hard to think of, you know, working in summer heat. That's what he's talking about. It's like I did 3 hours in my backyard, you know, in July, you know, or something like that. That's what happens. You're just drained by that. I remember my friend, he lived with something his whole life, and it derailed his entire life because he never told anybody and wouldn't tell God about it. He was a teenager, and he witnessed the murder of his grandfather. His father had murdered the grandfather, who was old and had a lot of money, and his dad did not want to spend the money on his father, Grandpa, and so he smothered him while he watched, and he never got over it. For probably 35 years, he never got over it. That secret ate him alive, that he didn't try to stop his dad. He was frozen at that time and really didn't know what to do. But he took that as personal guilt, and he carried that thing for years until finally one day long ago, Kurt's in heaven today, by the way, this is really a long time ago, he told me the whole story of what had happened. He could still smell the candles and the leather on the furniture when he told me the story. And he had to tell it, and he did. He finally let it go, but for his whole life, it derailed him. For his whole life, it sapped, because he thought about it every day. Every time he put his head on the pillow, it came to him, the pictures of it all. Man, I'll tell you, it's just the stuff that we carry. But we've been given this gift of a conscience, and David carried it. Carried the guilt of his own situation and what he had done, that awful stuff, and it sapped him. You can also have your conscience seared. You know, if you do the wrong thing long enough, that voice inside you is muffled and you almost can't hear it anymore. I've been with murderers, and I've been in those cells at Oakland County Jail in solitary confinement with these guys that openly said they murdered that person and why, and had no remorse. I remember sitting with a guy who had murdered his wife and left her body. When I talked to him at the jail, he had no remorse. No conscience that he had stolen his children's mother from them or murdered the woman that he once loved. Your conscience can be seared. So I'm telling you, having a conscience is a gift from God because it keeps us on the straight and narrow. So having a conscience isn't a bad thing. We have a gift of a conscience. But here's the thing. Our conscience can become weaponized. Satan takes what God has hardwired into us and he hijacks that thing. And what he wants to do is that even after you've come forward and confessed, he wants to beat you up with it. It gets weaponized by Satan. So it just beats us. He beats us with our past all the time. So I want you to see something. Before we come to Christ, we are separated from God, and God is separated from us. It's twofold. It's, of course, our sin where God has removed himself from us, okay? You cannot approach God except through the blood of Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and was resurrected from the dead. That's how we get to God the Father and be forgiven, is through the blood of Jesus. If you remember in the old temple in Jerusalem, do you remember the Holy of Holies? Only the high priest could go in once a year to offer the blood of the sacrifice. Do you remember? And there was that curtain that was probably about 6 inches thick. Nobody could go back there. There's that whole idea of separation. And when Jesus died on the cross, Jesus said, "Father, into my hands I commend your spirit." He said, "It is finished." And when he said that, something amazing happened inside the city. Jesus was dying outside the city at the place of the skull, Golgotha. But inside the city, at the old temple, something happened. That 6-inch thick woven curtain that separated God from people was ripped. And get this, not from the bottom to the top, but it was riven from the top to the bottom. Guess who opened that up? And all of a sudden, here we are. We have access to God. Our sins can be forgiven because of the sacrifice of Jesus. That's a beautiful thing. So that's one part of it. But the other part is this. Our conscience keeps us away from God. People fear God, and rightly so. But we have forgiveness through Jesus, and if you come to him, he'll help you with your conscience. And so there's that whole separation for two reasons. But again, I'm going to read this to you. I said, he said in Psalm 32, David says, I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. You see, there's being forgiven for sin, but inside David, the guilt of the sin. You see that is dealt with. I want us to turn one other place. I want you to go with me to the book of Hebrews, if you would, please. You know, most of us feel bad about ourselves to begin with, and then Satan gets a hold of our past and starts beating us with it. And you've probably had people that haven't helped your self-image very much. I was burying a guy, my friend Kenny, this week, and his nieces did his eulogy, and there are these two young girls. They both go to Central Michigan University, and they're so funny because they said that Uncle Kenny called every boyfriend they ever brought home Cheese Whiz. Okay, that's what he called them. Hey, Cheese Whiz. I love that. That's something my dad would do. I just think that's great. But listen to this, will you? This, to me, this is very interesting. This is talking about comparing the sacrifice of Jesus that he made, the perfect sacrifice, with the imperfect ones that happened through the Jewish system. And in verse 14, he compares it and he says, this is the writer of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, how much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our what? Our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God. And once you're forgiven, God has then got to deal with your conscience. And it's something that sometimes will do real well, sometimes you won't do real well with it. And we have to keep coming back to the cross and saying, he's forgiven me, and letting it go. Very, very important that we see that. But Satan loves to mess with us, with our consciences. It's weaponized by him. I want you to think of Peter. Do you remember him when he promised that he wouldn't leave Jesus then at the end of his life? Do you remember that? When Jesus told them that he was going to be crucified in Jerusalem, it was Peter, one of the disciples of Jesus. He said, Lord, I'll even go to death with you. And Jesus said, really? Hey, Pete, before the cock crows tomorrow morning, you're going to deny me not once, but three times. And then we have the picture. Hey, by the way, do you know the Bible has a whole bunch of ugly stories in it? Do you know that? I was listening to a renowned atheist on one of the talk shows this week, and he was talking about how ugly and scary the Bible is and how ridiculous it is. And it's not ridiculous, but it is ugly, and it is scary and a whole lot. You want to know why? Because it tells us the truth. That's why. And gives us a picture of a real world. That's why. And so if they reject it for that reason, that's their problem. But isn't it terrible when somebody tells you the truth the way it really is and you reject it because it isn't like a Disney movie? But Peter, you know, he promised, I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to do it. And then he denies Jesus three times. And then guess what happens? Jesus is resurrected from the dead after his crucifixion. Peter's there. Peter saw him. Peter talked to him. But you want to know what happened after Jesus went back to heaven? 40 days later when he ascended to heaven again after his resurrection. By the way, if you question the resurrection of Jesus, you got to understand, he stayed here for 40 days after his resurrection. And people touched him and talked to him and saw him, 500 at one time. Paul said, most of them are still alive. Some of them have died, but go ahead, ask the questions. I mean, this is done openly and beautiful to me. I just love that. But after Jesus went back to heaven, something really strange happens. We find it in John chapter 21, the end of the Gospel of John. So here's the thing. Jesus is alive. Woohoo! Right? I mean, the whole world is going to be different. This is incredible. Jesus had not ascended yet, but he was alive, and Peter had seen that he was alive and that it was real and that his promises were real. And so Peter, in John 21, says, I'm going fishing. This is one of the leaders of the group. I'm going to go fishing. Some of the guys said, yeah, we'll go with you. You see, he didn't think he was qualified anymore. Because of his past, he thought he wasn't qualified. So he didn't know what else to do except go back to fishing. And the wonderful story here is that Jesus went after him, showed up on that morning after they had fished all night and they hadn't found anything. And Jesus reenacted that moment when they had met so long ago when he calls out to them, hey guys, did you catch anything? No, nothing. We've toiled all night. He says, throw on the right side of the boat and you'll find. So they threw their nets in. All of a sudden, they had so many fish they couldn't bring them into the boat. And it all came back to Peter, and John says, oh, it's the Lord. So Peter tears his coat off, his fishing coat off, dives in, and swims to shore. You know, have you been away from Jesus for too long because of your stuff? Do you know he's coming after you in a good way? He won't let you go. And he's coming after you to let you know that he knows and that you can get beyond it. He sat Peter down by a fire, had cooked the boys breakfast, fish on those hot stones in that fire. He sat Peter down and he said, Peter, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, I love you. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Okay, Peter, do you love me? And Peter started to cry and said, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. And Jesus said to Peter, then you feed my sheep. He was not disqualified. Maybe your conscience has beaten the heck out of you for years. It's time for you to realize that now God wants to redeem your conscience too, so you will not stay away from him. I'm renowned for doing dumb things, and I do them regularly. And I'm not going to tell you about my sin, but I'm going to tell you about dumb things I do. It's just, if you want to drive a man crazy, girls, take him to the paper party place to pick out stuff for a banquet or something. Girls were getting ready to do some banquet thing, and so I took Debbie over there. Mistake. So I'm bored, and you should never let your husband get bored. So I found these big pink cowboy hats. You know, they have these big stupid cowboy hats. So I said, where's she at? Okay. And I put the hat on, and I come, her back to me, I come and I go, tapped her on the shoulder and said, hey, little lady. And she turned around, and it wasn't Debbie. Oh, you think that's bad? I bucked it up and I said, this is too good of a gig to not use on her. So when I see her on another aisle, I go down and say, hey, little lady. And it wasn't her either. I did it not once, but twice. Every woman in there had blonde hair and a long black coat. I was lost. I just didn't know what to do. You know, we've all just dumb stuff. No, they didn't escort me out. No, they didn't.
But did you find her?
Oh, yeah, she finally. And then I told her, and she loved it. I threw that hat down. I was done with it after I blew it the second time. So, but I had to tell her, and she told me I deserved it or something like that. I don't know. But, and I want you to see that and we're going to look at this as weeks go by here. But listen, sin, struggling with you, struggling with yourself, making good choices, and you're going to make some bad choices, are going to be part of your life until you see Jesus and you're out of a fallen body, okay? That's going to happen, and we've got to recognize that. So we got to keep bringing that stuff to Jesus and allowing him to deal with our conscience. It has to be cleansed by him. So if he's following you around about, if the devil is really messing with your head about your past, you got to keep singing to that little voice inside, I have asked Jesus to forgive me. The blood of Jesus has paid for my sins. That is paid for. Now listen, you've got to keep telling that voice, and that only Jesus can make that voice shut up. So keep telling him. Keep reminding the voice in yourself that you're forgiven, and stand on the truth of all of that. And the purpose for the healing of your conscience, I'm going to read it to you again out of when we were over in Hebrews. Let me read it to you again. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death? Okay, what's the purpose of the healing of our conscience? Get this. That we may serve the living God. Your past should not determine your future. I know that's a cliche and it's all over the place. You'll see it on plaques and on everybody's Facebook page. But in all reality, it's true. Your past should not dictate your future, and you don't have to let it do that. You're in charge of that, not your past. And the reason God wants to cleanse your conscience is because he's got something for you to do in this world. There are people that need you to love them. There are people that need to hear about Jesus and what he's done for us so that those who are carrying the weight of their guilt can be free. Let me tell you what, you get your conscience cleansed. There is no freedom like that in the whole world. I just finished an incredible, well, I'm not finished. I got a chapter left. A wonderful Eric Metaxas' book on the reformer Martin Luther from 500 years ago. And something happened to Martin because when he was a Catholic priest, when he was a monk, he was this little dweeb that was afraid of his own shadow. The guy would go into confessions and wear out his confessors with 5-6 hours of confessing everything. I don't know, I stepped on an ant. I mean, the guy's confessing everything because he's convinced he's going to hell and he needs to be forgiven. He just thought he has to keep up with confessing it all this way or he's going to go to hell. And then something happened. He started reading the Bible instead of church polity and, you know, what the church fathers had said. He started reading the Bible itself, and he found out he could be completely forgiven for his sin. And he trusted Christ and was forgiven. And you know what happened to him? He went from being this little sniveling, little afraid of his own shadow kind of thing, that he's going to go to hell at every little thing, to this giant who would stand against the Catholic Church in that day and call them to task. And he also became one of the greatest practical jokers of all time. He was sarcastic, funny. Oh, what happened? His conscience was cleansed. That's what happened. And he became the guy that he was. Quite a dude. Listen, Jesus wants to help you with it. So get alone with him. You see, David said that the cure for it was that he quit hiding it. Psalm 32. He quit hiding it and he openly confessed what he had done, and God forgave him the guilt of his sin. That's what you got to do. Simple. Let's stand together to pray. Come on, stand up. All right, you, it's amazing how the Lord does this, but you've already got something in your head. Let's bow in prayer. And you've already got something in your head that's swimming around there that's been bugging you, and you don't know what to do with it. Okay, well, maybe you haven't confessed it before. Maybe you have and it keeps coming back. Whatever it is, confess it right now for the last time. Say to Jesus, Lord, here it is. I did it. And I'm a sinner and I'm wrong in that. And I confess it to you as sin. Tell him that. Go ahead. And then ask him to forgive you. Remind him and you of his blood. Lord Jesus, you died for me. Thank you for your forgiveness. Now, my friend, you've confessed it. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's just to forgive us our sins and to forgive us of all unrighteousness, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that has happened instantly for you. Now, you need to remind yourself and that little voice inside that you're forgiven. Lord Jesus, thank you for our friends. Thank you for your goodness to us and for those of us as a group here. We're so grateful that you died for us and was raised from the dead. And you offer this to all who believe. And Lord, we need to keep applying this to ourselves. Help us. Well, thank you for it. Thank you for our time together today, Lord. Bless those who are struggling with us, and we ask for great victory in these areas. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. We're going to sing one, and then we'll go home. Thanks for coming today.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.